The Alexandrian Wars. When the war broke out at Alexandria, Caesar sent to Rhodes, Syria, and Cilicia, for all his fleet, and summoned archers from Crete, and cavalry from Malchus, king of the Nabatheans. He likewise ordered military engines to be provided, corn to be brought, and forces dispatched to him. Meanwhile he daily strengthened his fortifications by new works, and such parts of the town as appeared less tenable were strengthened with testudos and mantelets. Openings were made in the walls, through which the battering rams might play, and the fortifications were extended over whatever space was covered with ruins or taken by force. For Alexandria is in a manner secure from fire, because the houses are all built without joists or wood, and are all vaulted, and roofed with tile or pavement. Caesar's principal aim was to enclose with works the smallest part of the town, separated from the rest by a morass toward the south, with these views: first, that as the city was divided into two parts, the army should be commanded by one general and one consul; in the second place, that he might be able to succor his troops when hard pressed, and carry aid from the other part of the city. Above all, he by this means made sure of water and forage, as he was but ill provided with the one, and wholly destitute of the other. The morass, on the contrary, served abundantly to supply him with both. Nor were the Alexandrians remiss on their side, or less active in the conduct of their affairs. For they had sent deputies and commissioners into all parts, where the powers and territories of Egypt extend, to levy troops. They had carried vast quantities of darts and engines into the town, and drawn together an innumerable multitude of soldiers. Nevertheless, workshops were established in every part of the city, for the making of arms. They enlisted all the slaves that were of age, and the richer citizens supplied them with food and pay. By a judicious disposition of this multitude, they guarded the fortifications in the remoter parts of the town, while they quartered the veteran cohorts, which were exempted from all other service, in the squares and open places, that on whatever side an attack should be made, they might be at hand to give relief, and march fresh to the charge. They shut up all the avenues and passes by a triple wall built of square stones, and carried to the height of 40 feet. They defended the lower parts of the town by very high towers of 10 stories, besides which, they had likewise contrived a kind of moving towers, which consisted of the same number of stories, and which being fitted with ropes and wheels, could, by means of horses, as the streets of Alexandria were quite even and level, be conveyed wherever their service was necessary. The city abounding in everything, and being very rich, furnished ample materials for these several works, and as the people were extremely ingenious, and quick of apprehension, they so well copied what they saw done by us that our men seemed rather to imitate their works. They even invented many things themselves, and attacked our works, at the same time that they defended their own. Their chiefs everywhere represented that the people of Rome were endeavoring by degrees to assume the possession of Egypt, that a few years before Gabinius had come thither with an army, that Pompey had retreated to the same place in his flight, that Caesar was now among them with a considerable body of troops, nor had they gained anything by Pompey's death, that Caesar should not prolong his stay, that if they did not find means to expel him, the kingdom would be reduced to a Roman province, and that they ought to do it at once, for he, blockaded by the storms on account of the season of the year, could receive no supplies from beyond the sea. Meanwhile, a division arising between Achillas, who commanded the veteran army, and Arsino, the youngest daughter of King Ptolemy, as has been mentioned above, while they mutually endeavored to supplant one another, each striving to engross the supreme authority, Arsino, by the assistance of the eunuch Genemed, her governor, at length prevailed, and slew Achillas. After his death, she possessed the whole power without a rival, and raised Genemed to the command of the army, who, on his entrance upon that high office, augmented the largesses of the troops, and with equal diligence discharged all other parts of his duty. Alexandria is almost quite hollow underneath, occasioned by the many aqueducts to the Nile, that furnish the private houses with water, where being received in cisterns, it settles by degrees, and becomes perfectly clear. The master and his family are accustomed to use this, for the water of the Nile being extremely thick and muddy, is apt to breed many distempers. The common people, however, are forced to be contented with the latter, because there is not a single spring in the whole city. The river was